by Clarence Jordan. The Cotton Bat Version, if you're wanting to read the scriptures in a different kind of way, pick up the Cotton Patch Version. It was written in the mid-20th century during the civil rights issues, and it's written in Southern kind of way, so I'll try to read it appropriate to Clarence's words. It's a story, everybody's together, okay? And the wife of Zebedee, notice in the scriptures it says the wife of Zebedee, it doesn't say who is the wife, you know, it's still patriarchal stuff, okay? But I'll let you guys leave. It was something I said, I think, already. And they're all together, and she comes up to Jesus and asks him something. Then the mother of Zebedee, of the Zebedee boys, came to Jesus with her two, greeted him, and said she would like to ask a favor of him. "What do you want?" he asked. "Please arrange it," she said, "so that one of these two sons of mine might be your first vice president in the movement, and the other your second vice president." And Jesus answered, "Y'all don't realize what you're asking. Are you able to drink that cup that I'm about to drink?" And they said, "We sure are." "All right," he said, "you'll drink my cup, but to make one of you my first vice president and the other my second vice president is not up to me. These positions are for those who have been prepared for them." Now when the other 10, and he's talking about the disciples, when the other 10 got wind of this, they were plenty sore at the other two brothers. That, my friends, is an emotional triangle. You find them all through the scriptures. That's what Brad was going to talk about today. Emotional triangles. They're all over the place. Here in this case, we have the wife of Zebedee and the mother of James and John. And then we have James and John. And then we have Jesus. That's a triangle. But there was another one that was created, wasn't there? James and John, the other 10, and Jesus. They got sore. They were upset. They didn't want this. They didn't want James and John to get a special place. And so it's called an emotional triangle. Triangles can be any three persons. They can be two persons and an issue. They could be three people and an issue. Any time there is unresolved emotional issues in there, you have an emotional triangle. We all get caught up in triangles. It's a part of the created order. Ever since the beginning of time, there have been triangles. Just as soon as someone begins to talk to you about another person, that's a triangle. Just as soon as you talk to someone else about something else, that's a triangle. We all get caught up in it. It's a part of the creator. You have a handout that might help you in this process. And I thought I'd talk about those, see those dancing guys on that one page? You see, you can have triangles and you can have threesomes. Threesomes are when three people can be together and everyone's kind of equal. Okay, kind of equal. And then you have reality. No. Three people together always have emotional issues. And so you have on the left threesomes. On the right, you have triangles. Notice the difference in there? How in a threesome. Each person has the right to make their own choices. We're in a triangle. Everyone's tied to the other people in that triangle. A good example might be if you were a 15-year-old girl who just were given two tickets to the Justin Bieber concert. And you have two very, very close friends. Okay? Who are you going to share it with? You might feel a little angst in that process. That's called a triangle. Now, you might solve it by drawing straws. One wins and one loses. But I'll bet the person who's still at home is feeling kind of lonely and left out, even though they know it was just a game of chance. Emotional triangles happen all the time. Ever found yourself in a situation where someone came up and said to you, "Say, did you know that Bill is kind of crazy?" And you say, "Oh, really?" And then you turn around and there's Bill standing there. That's called an emotional triangle. And it makes things messy. I'm going to draw something up here. On the other side, there are those triangles. And, boy, this is very small. I hope you can see that. Can you see that all right? Make believe you can, okay, if nothing else. And notice in that triangle, there are arrows going both ways. And then there are three words around there. It's called the persecutor. I'll just put the words. A rescuer and a victim. Now, we're all involved with these all the time. It happens just so suddenly. An example might be with my son, who's now 48, my Lord. When he was about 4 years old, he was really into Lego blocks, you know. Serious business for a four-year-old. And my wife and I were both going to school full-time. And I had a little church in Indiana. And we had two cars that were dying. And we had no money. A little stress there, you suppose? Huh? And we took turns having one of us take our son to go to bed. So it's about 8 o'clock and it's my turn. And so I go in and he's playing with his Lego blocks right there. I'm uncomfortable because this is not going to be a good scene, right? And so I say, "Chris, it's time for you to go to bed. So would you pick up our blocks and go to bed?" And what does he say? No. So in a way, he says no. He becomes my persecutor, and I feel kind of victimized by his no. Okay, but I'm the adult, right? I'm supposed to be in charge of this. So I say again, "Chris, it's time for you to go to bed." And he goes, "No, it's a little bit more. Come on." "No." "Yes, that's right." He goes, "No." And now I'm really feeling victimized. Okay? Well, when in doubt, I have a phrase, when in doubt, we go to 13. Okay, whatever age we are, we go to 13. That's the age where we thought we were independent, but we still blamed our parents. Which is not independent behavior. So I'm going to switch things on him because I feel like a victim. I don't like feeling like a victim. And so I go up and I say, "Chris, listen, just get your butt in bed." What did I become? Persecutor. Where did he go? Victim. Well, now Cheryl Lee is sitting in the other room listening to this. And so she says, "Bill, can't you say that in a better way?" What is she doing for Chris? She's rescuing. But what? In order for her to rescue Chris, what does she have to do with me? She moves to the persecutor. And where do I go? Back to the victim. And so what does Chris, our four-year-old, say? "Mommy, stay out of it. We're doing fine." He just rescued his dad by persecuting his mom. We all end up feeling like a victim in that triangle. I want you to hear that. When you get into triangles, we all end up feeling like a victim. That's what gets messy about this. Now, there's another triangle there. It's got with A, B, and C. I'll just change this a little bit because I just want to share. This all comes, for those of you who want to read about this stuff, this comes from what's called family systems theory, if you ever read about Bowen theory or whatever. But let's put that other triangle up here. And we have an A and a B and a C. Now here's a couple of things that you might want to learn about triangles. Let's say that you are A. And you have a friend who's B. Okay? And you really want that friend to grow up. Get smarter. Stop doing something. You get the picture? Okay. All right. So here you are at A, and you want B to go to C. Is that correct? All right. Well, if you don't take anything else from this, because you probably go, what did that guy talk about today anyway? So here you are trying to affect the relationship between B and C, right? Well, hear this. You can't. Impossible. The harder you work to affect B to go to C, emotionally, it goes in the opposite direction. Let's say you have a son and a daughter, and you want them to be friends, okay? I want you two to be friends. The harder you work, the more they go, I don't like my brother or my sister. I'll give you a good kind of a fun example. Let's say your daughter, I don't know why I'm picking on women right now, but let's say your daughter brings home a new boyfriend. Now, you work at being very caring and very open. Now, the boyfriend, he is colorful. I mean, he has probably more color on his arms than your car. He is a metallic. He probably has more metal than your car. And he does wear his pants a little low, but that's okay. And that T-shirt that's torn all the way to the waist, that's okay. I'm open to this. It's just that while we're sitting and having dinner, the only thing he says is he kind of fists me and says, "Hey, dude." That's it. Okay. You want some mashed potatoes? Hey, dude. And that's all we're getting out of this guy, you know? And you watch this whole evening as the daughter is looking at this young guy with adoring eyes. And then she kisses him goodnight at the door. And you, as the loving parent, go up and say, I'll tell you what. Uh-uh. No more. That's it. You're not going out with that guy anymore. That's a triangle. And what is she thinking? He's the only person in the world for me. That's the way triangles work. That's what was happening in this story. The wife of Zebedee brings James and John and says, "Here, I want a special place for them." Now the other disciples come and say, "I'm a little sore about that." James and John couldn't speak for themselves, apparently. That might be considered a helicopter parent today, I guess. I don't know. It's a triangle. It happens all the time. Here's another thing about triangles, that if you're an A and you want B to be more responsible, go to C. You can't make them more responsible. You see, the very act of trying to make them responsible takes away their responsibility to be responsible. You want me to say that again? The very act of you trying to make them responsible takes away their responsibility to be responsible. That's where we come into all this addictive stuff. You can't make someone else stop. They have to choose to do it on their own. That's where God comes into this process. See, there's no triangles with God. It's your relationship to God, straight through. I can't convince you to believe in God. That's yours. I can believe in God my own way, and I perhaps, hopefully, live in a way that you might say, well, maybe that's got some credibility. But it's your choice. There are no triangles there. Oh, yeah, well, you say, what about Jesus? What about the trilogy? Well, that's a threesome. Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God. You can go directly to God in any of them. No triangles. You and I struggle with triangles all the time. The best thing I could say to you is what I believe for myself. I spend 3/4 of the time trying to be aware of triangles and de-triangulate, and 1/4 of the time defining myself. 3/4 of the time de-triangling, and 1/4 of the time just defining myself. That's tough enough. And again, there is no triangle between God and I. It's called free will. You and I are given the free will to decide. Do I believe in Jesus? Is Jesus my personal Savior? No, God invites you. Invites you every Sunday, invites you every day. No triangled relationships. This is straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, straight from God. You are my beloved, and there's nothing you can do about it. Still work together in the messiness, but know that God is with you throughout the process. Amen.